Good morning, a Monday morning with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, let's begin in New York. The leader of the New York State Senate, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, is calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign after two new allegations over the weekend that he behaved inappropriately toward former female aides. And the Speaker of the State Assembly, Carl Hastie, says it's time for the governor to seriously consider whether he can effectively remain in office. The governor replied saying, quote, I was elected by the people of the state. I wasn't elected by politicians. I'm not going to resign because of the allegations. That's the news greeting us this morning with more and more lawmakers calling for the governor to resign.
Well, we do know that the governor, who needs friends right now, doesn't have enough of them, particularly in the political branches of government, the Assembly and the Senate. He makes the point that he was elected. He has not committed a crime, according to the way that he's looking at this, and he's not going to resign. I've been saying that. I know enough about, quote, tough guy Andrew to know that he will stick this out to the end, because what are the choices? If he doesn't fight it, he goes into the garbage heap of history, and if he does fight it, maybe, just maybe, he'll survive. But I don't think that he sees that there are any options here. He's going to stick it out, he says. And obviously, the political people smell blood, and they are doing what they have to do. And it would be very interesting to know whether any of the people who are being talked about today, as we speak, have ever had encounters of their own. Have they ever had a place where somebody has said that they were insensitive? You know, this thing could open up, that's for sure. And I'm suggesting to you, David, that Andrew will not go easily. That's for sure.
Yeah, he even went further yesterday saying, you know, there's a budget to do here and this is a distraction. Let the attorney general do her work. But how effective can he be at budget negotiations if he's weakened? Does the legislature get what it wants?
I think, David, that the answer is probably yes. They get more of what they want because the governor's going to want to get through these budget negotiations. On the other hand, the fact that these are ongoing negotiations may take some of the heat off of him. We don't know. It is interesting that of the two of them, Mr. Hastie and Stewart-Cousins, the two leaders of both houses of the legislature, of the two of them, she goes first. I mean, after all, these accusations have been made by women, and so a woman, and in this case, a woman of color, which means a great deal in New York State, makes the accusation, and we'll see whether or not he can put up with it. But I have a feeling that it's going to be very, very tough for him going forward, but, you know, he's a tough guy.
Now to the national political scene. President Biden and Democrats hailed the massive $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that passed the Senate this weekend as a triumph of Democratic ideals, with Biden calling the legislation, quote, significant and historic. I saw, Alan, even Bernie Sanders praise the legislation that way, despite the fact that the $15 minimum wage did not get in.
Well, we pretty well knew that the $15 minimum wage was not going to get in. How do we know? Because from the very beginning, Biden was suggesting it wouldn't survive, whether that was preference or whether that was just a sign of his moderation. But the left in the Congress are saying that we have to have it, and we probably should have it. You know, $15 an hour doesn't amount to much anymore compared to what once was the standard. So, you know, people have to live. They have to put food on the table. You can come up with a coronavirus program like the president has done, and that can help short term, but long term, people have to have a living wage. And I think that the president is going to make sure that he puts forward a program that will assure that that happens, but not right now. Right now, it is really a miracle that he got a $1.9 trillion budget through the Congress, and he'll sign it, and it is a major achievement. You know, David, what's so interesting about all of this is that the polling is showing that people are wildly enthusiastic about this. A lot of people in America are going to be getting checks now, and why wouldn't they be enthusiastic about it? And as a result, Biden has a very strong polling record now himself. People like the guy. So his numbers keep going up. The people who were asked to respond say that they heavily favor the $1.9 trillion bill. And for Biden, it's a big win, a big win.
I don't think Amanda Gorman was asking for this. I don't know if you saw this story, Alan. Of course, she was the national sensation after delivering a stirring poem at President Biden's inauguration in January. She said on Friday, quote, a security guard tailed me on my walk home tonight, Ms. Gorman wrote on Twitter. He demanded if I lived there because, quote, you look suspicious. I showed my keys and buzzed myself into my building. He left no apology. This is the reality of black girls. One day you're called an icon, the next day a threat.
You know, David, I have a grandson of color, a beautiful child. And his father and others in the same situation struggled about when to have the conversation. We saw what happened to George Floyd. We know what this story is all about. It is blatant and intolerable racism based on the very weak concept of how much pigment somebody has in their skin. It is racist. There's no two ways about it. He's one of the top young people in America, and she's subjected to this. It's a terror, and we have to find ways to deal with it.
And apparently the issue of race goes right up to the royalty itself. How about the interview with Meghan and Harry and Oprah in a wide-ranging interview, Alan, on Sunday? Harry and Meghan describe painful palace discussion about the color of their son's skin, losing royal protection, and the intense pressures that led the Duchess of Sussex to contemplate suicide.
Yes, and not only is she at risk, and I hope she's fine, but so is the Royal House of Windsor. It is always interesting that in a world where we are talking democracy, we still have royalty. Frankly, I like it. There's a certain pomp and splendor, but it's always going to be on the cusp. And when something like this happens, it's a terror for the continuation of the royals. And the reason for that is that it's not consistent with our concept of democracy. And so while I think the Brits love it and they will continue it, this is not good for them.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok.